it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Angel and I take time and answer some of the questions you sent in. And we try to be very selective, the ones that we think are the real big ones. So we've made a good selection, I think, Angel. So let's just jump in and see what we've got today.
Okay, but let me give you a little word of wisdom first. Ladies, it's fun sometimes to hide your husband's stuff where he'll never find it. Put his shoes in the shoe closet, his jacket on the hanger, and his keys on the key hook. He'll be looking for days.
That's right, we will be.
You know that's the truth. All right, Joe, let's just jump right in here. When is the right age to start giving your kids the birds and the bees talk? Any idea, advice on how to initiate it?
Yes. I used to say it this way. When a five-year-old asks you about sex, you give them a five-year-old answer. A 10-year-old asks you about sex, you give them a 10-year-old answer. You don't go into the whole birds and bees story then, because they really don't know what they're asking anyhow. You know, they're not sure. So just stay calm. Don't hyperventilate. Don't say, my goodness, where did you hear that at? Don't do that. Just stay real calm. Well, son, it's so-and-so and so-and-so. And then if they ask another question, answer that question. Just the question. Don't go into long, drawn-out, hour-and-a-half conversation. Well, finally, I got that over with. No, you didn't. You just opened the can up. You didn't get anything out yet. So just be very calm and answer whatever they ask.
I remember when my son was starting to go through puberty, he came around the corner one time, and he had a sheepish look on his face. And I said, I don't know what you've been doing, but it doesn't look very good. And I said, what's that behind your back? And he finally showed me it was a Victoria's Secret catalog. And I said, okay. I said, let's sit down and talk about that for just a minute. I said, first of all, I want you to know, I think it's wonderful that you like girls. I think it is. But here's what I want to tell you about this. The Bible says that your wife should be your crown, someone that you honor and respect. The problem with stuff like this is it opens the door and you look at a woman differently. You look at her as something that's given for you and your benefit, and that's not the case. Nope. God wants you to look at her as someone with respect and honor. And we had a really long talk about it, and it was very, very good. And we opened, you know, it opened up the door, and I said, the problem with this, son, is when you start going down this road, is it never ends. You got to have more and more and more and more. So I think the thing is to not be emotional about it and not freak out, but just talk to them. Just talk to them. And like Joe said, just answer the questions. I mean, that's all we addressed at that point. But whenever he asked me, I would always tell the truth. And I think that's the best way to do it.
Well, there was one report written about the FBI that every serial killer they've ever arrested was eyeball deep and born. So it's you can't answer it. It's an unanswerable question. It's the devil trying to take you deeper in some place. There's no end to this cave. There's no end. So you need to back out of it. Stop it. It's like God made men and women to be enjoyed by one another, to get naked with one another, to have a good time. In marriage.
Right.
And so I used to teach in our marriage, someone, I don't care. I don't care if you swing the chandelier and sing soprano, but just with your spouse, not somebody else. So I joked, said I put a guard on my eyes not to look on a woman to lust after. What are you doing? I don't look at that. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at my wife, nobody else. So you have to make a covenant with your own eyes. You've got to determine what you're going to look at, what you're not going to look at. Because hell's always trying to lure you away looking at somebody else. And most everything on TV and movies is, it's dressed up, fixed up, puffed up, bumped up. So just stay with what God gave it. It's going to work real good.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, a lot of times when kids get to puberty and teenage years, parents kind of freak out. They don't know how to talk to them. And I've worked with teenagers since I was a teenager, since I was 19. But I always found that, you know, just talk to them. Like, they're not stupid.
Nope.
They know, and they're hearing things, but I'd sure rather them hear it from me than hear it from their friends.
Somebody down the hallway in a locker room somewhere. That's just crazy.
Yeah, because, it's sad how many kids have to learn stuff from the street, and that's not That's not the way you're supposed to learn it.
No, it's not biblical.
That's parents. That's you're passing the baton. Your responsibility as a parent is to help them grow up.
Yeah.
And this is a very big part of growing up.
Yep.
So don't shy away from that. Don't, you know, because that's your responsibility.
Yeah.
And the more you address it, the better it is. And I tell you what, I didn't want my kids hiding stuff from me. And so I would rather, let's have a very honest, open relationship and talk about this than hiding it and you finding out from your friends. Because they're not going to tell you the truth because they haven't heard the truth.
No, they don't know the truth.
So I just say, like Joe says, when they show curiosity about it, talk to them about it. Don't go overboard, just enough.
Answer the question.
Right. All right, Joe and Angel, I'm a mama of three beautiful children, ages 15, 13, and 5. Woo! Right now, I'm trying to help my son, the 15-year-old, walk through some challenges mentally, and I'm feeling frustrated with the lack of resources to do so. He's feeling lonely, lost, and alone. What advice can you give me for helping our son walk this out? How much of this is normal for a teenage boy, and how much of it do we need to be concerned about? That is a great question. Just talking about this yesterday with someone, that kids today have a lot of anxiety, much more because of the media.
Yep.
And, you know, our world is just moving a lot more rapid pace. And when things like COVID and everything, my daughter, who's a teacher, said, you know, when those kids came back from there emotionally and everything, that had set them back two or 3 years. Because of the fear they kept hearing on the news, because of what their parents were saying and everything else. And so it is a very legitimate question, and I don't think you should not address it for sure. So you want to go first?
I'm going to let you give it another thought. And then
my kids, particularly my son, went through a little – Well, no, they both did actually went through a season.
Every kid goes through this to some degree.
Yes.
Every kid.
And particularly since I was through a divorce at very critical ages in their lives, you know, I think they felt it probably a little bit more watching their father be a dad to other people's children and not to them. It was very, very difficult and isolating. I mean, I remember one time finding my daughter crying in the closet. And here's the thing. We shy away from counseling a lot of times. Like it's something to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
But it's really something that I would certainly pursue with him. My daughter and I, I'll tell you, we went to a counselor. And I knew the counselor. She just wanted me to go on the first session. And we sat down. And he goes, "What are you ladies here for today?" And I burst into tears. And she's looking at me like, "I thought we were here for me." And I'm like, "Well, I guess I still have issues too." So... I can't think of any person that doesn't need counseling sometime or another. So for me, I would probably run to find somebody good. But that's the key there. Find somebody good, a good Christian counselor, because you don't want them to get New Age junk and everything else. Because really, Jesus is their answer. So talk to the people in your church, the youth pastor. Ask them to reach out to them and bridge a gap, because... that's what they're there for. That's what we are as a family of Christ. And sometimes we don't press in like we need to the local church as well. But go ahead.
Well, you need three basic things every kid needs to know. You need to know how to start a conversation, how to carry on a conversation, and how to finish a conversation. And so if you don't know how to do those three things, you're going to get caught somewhere where you feel embarrassed, you're not enough, you're going to say too much. And so every kid needs to be taught. So every kid's the same way. Nobody wants to look stupid. The number one goal of every teenager when they wake up in the morning, please God, help me not look stupid today. Especially if you're a male. What's your goal today? To not look stupid. And that's why boys show off and talk loud and brag and do this. Well, they're trying to cover up their weakness. And so every human goes through that. We try to cover up my weakness. Well, no, the Bible says you're already strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you just need to relax and be you. Just relax and be you. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to outdo anybody. Just be yourself. But you have to be taught that. So when they hit this age, and every kid goes through it, some are more outgoing than others. That's just a They were just born with that. They're born to parents who are outgoing. So they know to talk all the time. That doesn't mean they say anything important. They just know how to carry on a conversation. Some don't know how to start a conversation because their parents were shy. They didn't talk to anybody. Their parents didn't have friends. And so they're like a hermit living in a cave somewhere. And so everybody can be taught. So I go back to the three things. And Angel got eight kids. They're all grown now. But we all went through it. Like, honey, let me tell you how to start a conversation. Let me tell you how to start a conversation. Ask people about themselves. Don't talk about you. Hey, how you doing? Where you been lately? Got any hobbies? What's your favorite thing to do? You know, you seen anything good lately? Have you read a good book lately? Where have you been? You ask what people love to talk about themselves. So the way you start a conversation, ask them about them. Don't talk about you. Not this I, me, and I. Ask them about themselves. That's how you start a conversation. How do you carry on a conversation? You keep asking questions. I remember when I was an engineer, we would visit our competitors a couple of times a year and take them to lunch. We knew we were competitors. We're making wire, they're making wire. And so we'd drive down, but they might be halfway down the interstate, you know, we're halfway across the state. But, hey, can I take you to lunch? Come over tomorrow, take you to lunch. And you meet him with a competitor, but you know you're trying to do the same thing. You're trying to be successful in business. And so you learn. The first 5 minutes, you can mark people. If you'll just ask them about them, hey, how's business going? It's going great, going good. What's your biggest challenge? What? Everybody's doing challenge. What's your biggest challenge? What's been your big success? What home run have you hit lately? Well, we've done this. People, you get them started, and they'll talk for an hour. But you got to ask the questions. So start a conversation, carry on a conversation, then how to end a conversation. I always had in my mind, I had a great guy I learned from years ago. He had a 10-minute limit. He just knew it. He knew. You catch him in the hallway, get him on the phone. All of a sudden, he'd say, well, bud, I got to go. Well, bud, I got to go. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, good to talk to you. Well, I learned later because he taught a thing on leadership later on. I went to one of my seminars. Like, I got a 10-minute clock. I got it sitting on my desk. I got it in my mind. I got it on my watch. I'll give you 10 minutes, not 11. 10 minutes, I got to go. And he'll cut you off in the middle of a conversation. And so you got to know how to close that conversation off.
Years ago, there's a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And that book is still good today.
Yes.
My parents were salespeople, and we had to read it. But it did help a lot.
Yep.
So there's resources out there. But
find you one.
Yeah. But, I mean, if it's really where he's isolating and being alone a lot, I definitely would certainly consider counseling as well. Now, I know that the devil is our enemy, but sometimes I wonder if my problems are really the devil attacking me or just the consequences of my decisions.
Flip a coin.
Do you have any way of telling the difference?
Well, I think everybody knows when they've done something stupid. You don't have to have a friend tell you that. Everybody knows they've done something wrong. And usually, and they teach in counseling to keep asking questions. People come to me all the time, especially as a school administrator. They say, can I share a secret with you? I said, no, honey, I'm going to tell everybody. If you tell me, I'm going to tell everybody else. You're kidding. Yeah, sure, you need to understand, no human can keep a secret. You tell somebody something, you might as well strike a match to a gasoline lake. It's going to beat you home. So what you got? Well, who do you talk to? Well, the Bible says a friend is somebody that'll die for you, not get you killed. So I tell people, in your whole life, you may have two, maybe three friends. That's somebody that will give their life to you in a moment's notice. That's a friend. If they're not a friend, don't nip your whole brain on the table to them. Don't tell everything you know. Keep things to yourself. So when you meet people the first time, second time, 50th time, are they your friend? No, well, don't tell them everything you know. Just be nice, be polite, ask mostly questions. And there's a way to carry on a conversation. There's a way to handle that.
Okay, well, so the question, though, is it the devil or my poor decisions that are making the
only difference? You are going to know the answer to that. My kids, I remember I had a big fire pit out in the yard. I had two of my kids come out and talk. And they come out, and so I'd build a fire, and they'd come out on the porch. Hey, Dad, what are you doing? I was building a fire. You're going to roast some marshmallows? Hadn't planned on it. Can I bring some? Sure. I might bring out a hot dog marshmallow. And they're just sitting there. So I learned to be very quiet. And so, Dad, you know, this happened at school today. What do you think about that? And I would always say, well, what do you think, sugar? Because Jesus, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus always answered a question with a question. You read every passage, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus always answered a question with a question. Well, what do you think you ought to do? What do you think? And people will answer their own problems, but you got to get them to think. Well, honey, what do you think you ought to do about that? Well, then I think all this, well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. I think you already got your answer. And so people go, well, is that God or is that the devil? It doesn't matter. Is that your own flesh? Your own brain? God works both ways. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to get an answer. I don't care where it came from. I'm trying to find a solution to the problem. Sometimes God shows up miraculously, sometimes without even praying, and all of a sudden you have the answer. Sometimes you got to ask 14 different people, like, oh, number 14 gave me the right answer. You got to keep looking for it. It's called seek, knock. God, you know, you knock on the door, God said, I'll open it. You seek, you see, you find it. You stare at something, it'll stare back at you. You got to chase something to find out what is it. Doesn't matter whether it's God or your flesh. Just trying to get an answer to the problem. I don't care where it came from. I remember one time a great healing evangelist built a hospital, big famous hospital. And they interviewed him, big newscast, and said, why is a healing evangelist building a hospital? He said, well, because I believe in healing. And they didn't understand. It was on national news. And they asked again, no, why is a healing evangelist building a hospital? Because I believe in healing. I'm going to get it any way I can. Shots, surgery, miracles, I don't care. I'm trying to get healed. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get well. I'm trying to get rid of a disease or an infection. I don't care how I get it. I'm just trying to get it. And so I thought, what a great answer. We try to. I'm just trying to solve a problem. I'm not trying to be famous. I'm just trying to solve a problem. I don't care if it comes from God or my own flesh. I don't care. I'm just trying to solve a problem. Matthew 5:9, Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. One translation says this way, blessed are the problem solvers. They should be called the children of God. What's a child of God do? We solve problems. As a parent, as a husband, as a spouse, what are you trying to do? Every day I'm trying to solve problems. It's where'd it come from? I don't care. I serve God. I fear God. I worship God. I don't care if it came from God or it came from my own mind. I don't care. I'm just trying to solve a problem. God's going to get all the credit anyhow. So it works real good for me. Do you have any comments on that, babe?
No. I think it doesn't matter. Sometimes I've made terrible choices,
and there were
consequences, and then sometimes it was the devil. And I heard a guy say one time, you know, because we tend to, as a church, like if a door is shut, we'll say, that was God. He shut the door. And I'm like, sometimes there's 10 devils on the other side of that door. You got to kick that joker open several times. It doesn't, you know, so sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes it's our own flesh. Either way, God wants to help us through it.
Well, we've traveled for 30 years plus, and you'll go someplace and a pastor, well, God told us to build this big youth building. You go back 2 years later and say, what happened to that youth building? And it's actually happened, pastor. Well, it wasn't God. What? Yeah, we tried it, but it didn't work. It wasn't God. And here's what most Christians think. Well, I tried it. It didn't work. It must not have been God. No, maybe you need to try it again. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, but they get back up. Maybe you need to dig under it, crawl over it, go around it, knock it down. You need to, if God's told you to do something, get after it and get it done. Just because it didn't work the first time doesn't mean, well, that must not have been God. Sure, it probably was God, but it's being resisted. The devil's trying to resist what God's trying to do in your life. So you got to push through. So get up and do it again.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, guys, we're so grateful for you to join us today. Would you take time today and send us your questions or prayer requests that you might have? And also, would you just prayerfully consider about becoming a partner with us to help us to continue to travel and share good news and healing to families? We love you very much. We'll see you next time.
God bless, guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.